Friday the 13th.
Oh.
Oh.
Spooky.
Didn't even realize that.
Dun, 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 dun. Where's Vincent Price when you need him?
I don't think he was part of the... Was he part of the TV show?
No.
There was a very...
Scariest dude of all time, though.
There was a very unsuccessful Friday the 13th TV show. You remember that?
No.
And it wasn't about Jason Voorhees. It was just about, like, just... It wasn't serial. It was just different scary things every week.
I thought you were going to say it was just about... Like running the camp or whatever, and I was like, "That was Ernest Goes to Camp."
They should have crossed over. Did he do a horror one?
Yeah.
What happened to Ernest?
He died, lung cancer.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a depressing start to your end of the news week.
A business news first, and then technology, and then nonsense.
Hardware,
and then nonsense.
AI and robots.
AI and robots. A lot of AI and robots this time. Business of war. Google employees are protesting their work for the Pentagon. So we reported last week or the week before that Google was helping the Pentagon with their AI. This article elaborates, whoa, guys, we are just helping the Pentagon with the publicly available AI libraries that Google has made available. The Pentagon wasn't using it right. It's just image classification. It's operating on unclassified data. But thousands of Google employees have said, nope, we don't want any part of this. It's going to be misused. Let's not do this.
And it is rather naive to think that the Pentagon is not going to use that recognition data to recognize people to kill. I mean, it seems pretty obvious.
We all know from the movie Real Genius that that laser is going to be weaponized and not just for making popcorn.
And Google's part of the axis of evil at this point. Like,
Mussolini.
Do you really think, like, oh, I'm going to make a difference at Google? You might make a difference in terms of, like, UI, but you're not, like... doing a great humanitarian thing for the world.
It's interesting that you say that because these people dredged up that old Google slogan of don't be evil, which they dropped, by the way.
They did drop.
They don't do that anymore, but they were just like, hey, we must not be evil. This is clearly evil, and we have to stop doing this. But I don't know. I think this is, there's some comparison to be drawn with the James Damore thing in that people speaking their mind at Google that is opposite to what Google wants to do and what they believe internally, it would seem. But this one is more politically correct. So it's going to be harder for them to ignore this one, I think.
It will be interesting to see how this plays out in the end. And I'm sure that we will be reporting on it many, many times. Now, one thing we always love to talk about is the temptation. Like the temptation with the Pentagon is going to face with the AI. All of our always on, always listening microphones, we have the technology. The temptation is going to be irresistible to companies to build stuff to be able to do those microphones that are always on and always listening. And to that end, Amazon has filed a patent that reveals an algorithm that can analyze conversations from these speakers. So some people maybe already experienced this. Maybe they were pilot users where you talk about things like Land Rovers and then all of a sudden you get ads for Land Rovers.
Lawnmowers. Oh, but I don't have one of these things. So this patent is, and of course we should preface this by saying, Amazon files thousands of patents every year. All the big tech companies do. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to use it. But this patent is a little scary because what they're doing is they're analyzing your conversation, and not just in terms of like, of course, you know, we love to talk about Alexa. Because every time I say Alexa, it wakes up your Alexa. But this is not when you wake it up. This is just when you're having conversation. And some of the things they cite in the patent are when you say that you like or love something. So if you say, I love sugar-free gummy bears, then Amazon is going to really push sugar-free gummy bears on you.
I really love sugar-free gummy bears because they really help me poop regularly.
Who needs that medication from the last episode? And you can just get some sugar-free.
So yeah, if you love your Alexa and you've got it and you can't give it up, maybe go take a look at that patent and see if you love it that much.
I wonder if Alexa, like, I'm going to be really scared when the intelligence is such that it can detect your subtle threats. It's like, oh, Alexa's getting too intelligent. I'm going to have to get a HomePod. Bad news if you're a Best Buy user. Best Buy shoppers' payment information may have been breached in a data breach. But this is not Best Buy proper. This is their online chat service, which they outsource to a contractor. If you worked with the chat service to get an order fulfilled or something like that, whatever you typed in the chat's probably been compromised.
So don't give online chats your credit card.
Yeah, apparently that's what it was. I was like, like, why wouldn't you say, like, please call me? Or, like, why would you give it to some random person?
Well, it might have been, like, you know, you something happened with your order, and you click the online chat, and they're like, oh, your credit card didn't go through. And it's like, oh, that one's expired. Let me give you the new one. You know, something like that. But don't do that.
I'm also imagining, like, oh, my grandkids was trying to get the Google. Can I order the Google? Best Buy's like, yeah, sure. We'll say a Chromebook. That's the Google. Turns out old people not understanding technology and being taken advantage of, that's kind of a thing.
It's good business.
That's, I wonder, do you think we'll ever hit an age? Because we're getting dangerously close.
Where you cease understanding things?
Yeah.
Oh, we're already there. All the different social media, like, yeah, like Snap. How well do you understand Snapchat?
Well, I don't understand Snapchat, but like Facebook, I don't use it, but I understand it because I've had to work with it.
Yeah.
So if I had to use the Snap API, I'm sure I could grasp it. But I don't think that would be true of the previous generation. Maybe the ones that worked in programming, I don't know.
Well, our next story is interesting. CenturyLink is fighting a lawsuit against it. It's a billing fraud lawsuit they're facing from 12 states. 12 states are suing CenturyLink for billing fraud. It sounds like a serious problem. CenturyLink is saying, well, now hold on there. We don't actually have any customers.
That's a hell of a defense.
It's a bold strategy. Let's see if it works out for them.
So it turns out CenturyLink has these regional smaller companies that works through. So you do business with the smaller regional CenturyLink rather than the parent company. And they're saying that they have zero customers, so they can't be sued. You would have to sue the smaller companies, but you made an arbitration agreement whenever you...
I was struggling a little bit with the computer, sorry.
The next article up the whole time you were talking, and yeah, that's why I started laughing.
Oh, was it on the screen?
I toggled back in. Yeah,
it was on the.
Sorry,
it was on the,
you know it's Friday. So.
Well, just leave it in.
It's fine. Sorry,
are we?
No, yeah, it's good. So the arbitration clause is with the individual constituent companies. So they're trying to do an end run around procedure here. I really hope the judge sets them on fire and watches their corpse burn, legally speaking, of course.
Now, there is one...
Not literally.
One other... No. I would like to see that. There is one other interesting thing about this case. Some of the complaints are that accounts were created for people without their knowledge or their consent. So, CenturyLink is saying, you signed up for arbitration when we created this fake account. And so, you know, the people with the lawsuit are like, how can you make that argument? That doesn't make much sense. So.
The billing people. It seems like they incentivize the people that run the customer service department, too, to just deal with these people in any petulant way possible, too.
Just
so.
Make the sale and we'll deal with it afterwards. I think that's pretty common.
If the lawyers involved are clever, at least on the people that are pursuing this action, they should subpoena those customer service records and those recordings, because I bet those recordings will elicit a settlement from CenturyLink faster than you can say there's no tomorrow.
If they can even get into court, because, yeah, you know, this... And we've seen...
the FTC is going to be like, there's nothing wrong here.
Yeah, right.
I see nothing wrong.
So hopefully they'll get their day in court.
Google has announced their intention to ban any extensions in the Chrome store that use cryptocurrencies, that mine cryptocurrencies. Now, previously they had announced that mining cryptocurrency extensions was okay as long as the extension made clear that it was mining cryptocurrency. But now I think they're going to, in the next couple of weeks, remove everything.
Yeah, and they're going to get rid of the ones that have already been approved and they're not allowing anything more. I think what... The problem here is, like you talk about the old people. And the old people, you know, little Timmy comes and visits and installs a Monero miner on your Chrome. And you open it up and you're like, oh, Chrome is slow. It's a bad browser.
Grandma's making me money. Oh, yeah.
And so they want to protect you. But they open Firefox and it's fine. You know, so they're going to have this bad impression of Chrome.
That.
Yeah.
Should be opening Firefox anyway.
You know what's exciting? It's exciting when emails that were never supposed to see the light of day come to a courtroom near you. And so in discovery, some really interesting things have been discovered. An AT&T exec has called broadcasters short-sighted whores because those broadcasters are partnering up with services that would allow people to stream as opposed to entering into agreements with AT&T that mean that AT&T has a stranglehold on the content.
Yeah, of course, which is DirecTV, because they own that. And we all know that the cable companies, but also the satellite companies, are bleeding out because everybody's going to the online streaming services. And so they're trying to merge AT&T and Time Warner. And one of the arguments is that you shouldn't do that because that's going to give them way more control over the content, and they're going to use it to haggle in this way. And this certainly points toward that, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lot of the past behavior on AT&T's part is exactly the kind of behavior that they are accused of seeking when they are going this way. Of course, if consumers can get their content from lots of different providers, that means that there's lots of competition among providers. But if you can only get your Star Trek The Next Generation reruns from one provider, you're going to be more willing to put up with shenanigans.
Yeah, so probably not a good idea that that merger takes place. But once again, you know, some of the people in power might be a little swayed in one direction or the other, and we might get it anyway.
Listen, they need that cash for their fifth vacation home.
I really think that sometimes they dredge up this kind of stuff to say, yes, you owe us a favor that is this big. Look what we swept under the rug for you. You owe us. Because I've seen stuff like this before, and it just goes away mysteriously.
Yeah, I could see that. Because not all of them are working double time like a Jeep Pie. A Jeep Pie is earning his summer home. I mean, he is like the hardest working man in corruption.
Nice.
You should have a mug that says that.
We should send him a mug that says that. Although they probably blow it up.
That'll be a good time.
I think that's what they do with packages that come from unknown senders. Yeah. They just blow it up.
Speaking of things that have gone horribly wrong, the Sinclair Broadcasting did this. If you guys have not seen this video, you should check this out.
So
Sinclair Broadcasting owns a bunch of TV stations.
Over 200.
And so, you know, you get your local news, you get your local newscasters, but Sinclair controls what they say. It's like, you're a newscaster, you must read this, you must carry this. There's optional stuff. It's like, you can carry these other stories, you can talk about this. This is what we want you to do as Sinclair Broadcasting, but you must talk about this. And so some YouTubers have put together a video of all the different local and affiliate stations saying the Sinclair must broadcasting. This is like the fake news thing.
Yeah, and it's eerie in that not only are they all saying the exact same thing, somebody leaked the script. It was literally a script. But they say it in almost all in the same cadence. Yeah, so it's when it's laid over each other, it's just like, you know, drones.
It's that non-regional diction newscasters have.
Yeah, know? Yeah. It's amazing. So it turns out that a couple of these people went to Twitter and some social media and they're like, we're sorry. They made us do it. Please, please still trust us. We don't want to do this. We have to. And another memo came around saying, you will not talk about this. No. You do not talk about when Sinclair tells you that you must broadcast a certain
thing. When we say jump, you say how high.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and Sinclair, somebody leaked their employment contract with Sinclair, which has got to be one of the most odious things that I've ever read.
Yeah. Terrible. And you can't quit, basically. If you quit, you owe them money.
40% of your salary.
Which is insane.
So these people are basically shackled to Sinclair, and there's nothing they can do. Yeah. So this is, it's funny that the message of their thing is, it's like, oh, we don't want people to control the message, and we don't want, right, you know, it's, yeah, like, you should trust your local news source because they're objective and fair. And it's like, these people don't seem like they're having any independent thought here. It seems like they're just mouthpieces.
It's literally fake news because it's being made up from the top down. So, yeah, I'm sure somebody out there has a list of all the Sinclair stations. So, like, if your local station is Sinclair, maybe tune to a different local station.
But what if you really like their Dreamy Weather Man?
It turns out the Dreamy Weatherman, there's nothing behind that. It might as well be CGI. I mean, how long before it's like Sinclair's, it's like, we don't need people to read the news anymore. We're just gonna do it with CGI.
How do people actually watch the
just
news?
Follow him on Instagram. I'm sure he takes a lot of selfies.
Oh, no, like some of the local weathermen here, very popular on social media.
Following on Instagram, that would be even easier to replace somebody with a robot because you don't even have to animate them in real time.
Anyway.
Switching gears a little bit to hardware news, Intel has snuck out the Core Plus processor. So if you see Core Plus, what that means is Intel Core whatever plus Optane, because they really are pushing Optane as hard as they can, because Optane just makes everything faster.
It'll cost you about $50 to get that extra Optane. And I don't think they're, like, you can't buy them everywhere. Japan has a few, Canada has a few, but so far, maybe by the time this airs, they'll be more prolific, but right now I don't think you can buy them in a ton of places.
It's literally just the processor bundled with a 16 gigabyte Optane drive. $50 for 16 gigabytes. Intel, you are on crack.
And I think they retail for, what, like 39?
Yeah, not even.
So they're tacking an extra 10 on you there for the OEM.
I mean, Optane is a really interesting high-end technology. It has more latency than memory, but not nearly as much latency as even NAND flash. But some NAND flash vendors like Samsung have been able to eke out impressive response times with flash. So it's cool that it's a totally different non-NAND technology, but it's just not as cool as Intel thinks it is in the consumer space. At least you could use cheap, crappy SSDs with it, and I think that would be sort of a trend backwards in laptops. Also, really big news this week. Intel stock has tumbled on reports that Apple is going to make its own Mac chips. Yeah, Apple's going to abandon x86 and blah, blah, blah. That's what's been reported everywhere. That's not what this is. This is how Apple negotiates. So what is actually happening here is Apple is telling Intel, we think you charge too much. We want a better deal.
They're threatening Intel to get a better deal.
Yeah, and the own chip here, I think it's just as likely to mean that they're going to go to AMD and say, hey, AMD, can we get a Ryzen core plus maybe one of our customized ARM cores in one package? And we'll just call that an Apple.
And of course, Apple, you know, as I'm sure there's a lot of money to be made there, but they're not a huge percentage of the market. So they've got threatening power, but I don't know if they have enough for Intel to you know, really give in on this.
I think Apple could also be a prime candidate for something like Ryzen plus Vega. So like where Intel, it's like Intel plus Vega. I think that Ryzen plus Vega, especially the newer generation Ryzen plus Vega for mobile computers, could be something that Apple is really, really interested in. So that could be a huge win for AMD, because while Apple's not a huge customer for Intel, I mean it is, but it's, you know, it's not the end of the world for Intel. It would be a huge customer for AMD.
But I wonder, because the Apple customers have that sort of sanctimony about how their stuff is the absolute top of the line best. And sure, it's $15,000, but it's the best you can get. And that's not going to be true if they go with AMD. And, you know, the trend continues.
Oh, there come the downvotes.
Intel does have the fastest CPUs.
Moving right along, investors also have shrugged this off. They're saying Intel was downgraded on this news from Apple and some other news, like the Spectre meltdown stuff. And so in terms of like long-term outlook, Intel has been downgraded. But the investors that have invested in Apple, have invested in Intel, don't really see this as a big deal.
Also, Intel has been talking a lot about, of course, CPUs are their bread and butter, but they're trying to get into the, you know, the data, big data, and the cloud, and they're trying to do all that stuff. And
GPUs.
Do we really need another entry into the big data?
It's going to be interesting to see how Intel does with Raja Koduri on the GPU side, but that's going to be a story for another day. Berkeley Labs has printed an all-liquid 3D structure. So this is kind of fascinating. You should watch the video. But basically, you know, like hydrophobic compounds and hydrophilic compounds? They're using alternating hydrophobic and hydrophilic compounds to basically make it so that the surface tension of the water, in this case, is sort of self-contained within another membrane. So they're literally able to just basically 3D print a flexible tube here, and it's just made out of two different liquids, basically.
And that structure in between, they call a super soap. It's basically a big soap bubble that contains water inside a silicon shell, and they can print it. I actually used a standard 3D printer. They just modified the nozzle to make it a needle that printed this stuff. Also, super soap. One thing that might make this a little expensive, it's made of gold.
that's something I'm willing to pay for, because I can print really cool water stuff.
It might lead to flexible clothing and flexible circuits. Flexible clothing with circuits inside.
One of the big things we talked about before was they had those mechanical muscles, but they were just using hydraulics and, you know, pressure from inflating them and stuff like that. I bet you could use this in that type of thing.
So how would you like to be talking to somebody on Bluetooth that only they can hear you, and you're not like, I hate it when you're like wandering around somewhere in public and somebody's like screaming into their phone. And it would be great if you could have a conversation with that person just with your inside voice. I saw that.
Wendell's hopping on the phone when we go to lunch.
You got to show the
So this is the Bluetooth headset of the future. It's like researchers have developed a device that can hear your internal voice.
Now the bad news about this is the whole Bluetooth asshole look. It's not going to get any better. This is actually going to be way worse because
that's like medical grade.
Yeah, that thing is so big.
Medical grade Bluetooth headset.
Well, like it looks like a piece of like a medical device. I would assume someone had like busted their ear or their jaw if I saw that.
So
a lot of our audience is now really self-conscious. Thanks.
Oh, they should be. So this thing, the reason it has to look like that is because it is when you have your internal voice. It's like when you imagine that you're running or whatever. Your muscles inside your jaw actually react to your internal voice. So this thing can actually interpret that. I think Google's voice recognition is like 97% accurate. This is 92. So not bad.
Getting pretty good.
Not bad at all.
For no noise. And that earpiece is using the direct bone induction to play sounds back to you. So it's your internal voice and your internal hearing. Nobody else has any idea what's going on.
I would like to just have that on and record my random thoughts for the day and see how weird and bizarre they
get. Let's train an AI with that.
Have it print a little notebook at the end of every day so that you can...
It's like a diary.
Wow, that would be terrifying.
That was a plot in one of the episodes of Black Mirror. Is like they put a thing in to learn your brain patterns, and then they take it out, and so it's like a copy of your consciousness.
Oh yeah.
But then they stick it, that becomes your smart home. So there's a version of you that's running your smart home, and it's like, oh, that's kind of dark.
That's, you mentioned the learning part. This thing does actually have to learn you, so it has to be tuned to your jawbone and your thought process or whatever, which is interesting.
Talking about robotics this week, we had a lot of robots and AI news this week. So the first one is oil platforms are about to get a lot more dangerous than they previously were because it's just a bunch of robots out there. We don't need to build things like safeties or handrails or, you know, non-treacherous stairs. This robot can deal with all of those things. It can deal with the stairs. It can read gauges. It can do maintenance, some kinds of maintenance anyway, on oil platforms at sea, which is kind of exciting.
I don't think a handrail would still be useful, like even if it's just a rail in case there's, you know, high winds, as happens when you're out at sea.
It costs too much. We got robots.
You know, what if it just blows the robot off?
Yeah, we'll just get a new robot. It was cheaper than putting the rails in.
It would be probably cheaper than paying, you know, the legal fees for somebody dying at sea. This guy's called Argos, and he's an early version. They're going to still refine him. But yeah, they're imagining a way. They're imagining a future where these oil platforms might not have any humans on them most of the time. Just these little robots running around monitoring things and, you know, pushing buttons and stuff.
We'll get solar power done just in time for the totally automated oil platforms. We still use oil for plastic, so.
How hilarious would that be if you put a solar panel on the Argos so that it could generate oil?
Yeah, you know, people get all bent out of shape. It's like, oh, we're not going to need oil soon. It's like, guys, we still need plastic. I mean, we're not going to burn oil for energy, I guess, but we're still going to need plastic, so.
I think we're going to be burning oil for energy for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems likely. So some academics have decided that they're going to boycott the South Korean university over killer robots. And I feel like the BBC really struggled.
This picture is everything I've ever dreamed of in an article photo.
Like, it's even badly Photoshopped. I mean, they had nothing.
Well, they had a good idea.
I know, it's Getty Images. WTF Getty Images.
I'm not even surprised by that, having to work with stock images.
They had the idea to put the child's face on it to make it more terrifying. Because we all know that robots with children faces are horrible. And then that rifle, I don't even know what that is. Like, it's
imagine that coming to you and it's got the gun in one hand and then it's eating Cheerios, like smearing it all over your face. Like real babies.
Wow. That's a darkness I'm not ready to handle.
So they're talking about AI and it turns out South Korea, Samsung already has robots patrolling the border with North Korea, and they look kind of like the robots from Short Circuit.
Yeah, the SGRA-1. We're having a lot of trouble with our browser. We're going to include an image of it, but it's just the browser's crapped out so hard. But you should Google the SGRA-1 on Google Images because, yeah, it's an autonomous, it's at the North Korean border, and it's got a machine gun, and it's a robot.
You could Google Nova Robotics Fleet and also see it that way. I mean, that's totally fine too because it's literally basically the same.
Well, that was a laser weapon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure it could be fitted with a machine gun just as easily. I mean, that's fine. It's totally fine. Lasers are in the future. Russia was trialing drones for mail delivery this week. They saw the Amazon videos, and they're like, we can do this too. It's going to be great.
You should scroll down and show their video, though, because that's what's important.
Yeah, they got a GIF here. This is amazing. Oh.
Oh, it was in the air for 20 seconds.
Imagine, like, really hopeful music, like it's swelling up, and then it just cuts off.
Yeah. You know they invited all the press and everything, so.
No.
All those people are dead now.
I think that you guys are missing the point. This robot is something to be proud of. It was delivering that letter with such zeal that it gave its life to deliver that letter 6 seconds quicker.
So, crashing through a window. Like,
well, it almost did there.
Message for you, sir.
They're not sure exactly what went wrong with it, but they say they're definitely going to try again. They're not giving up on autonomous mail robots.
Well, obviously, they should definitely give up after that kind of attempt. That was just terrible. All right, the next story is a video story, and we have to endure this Star Wars. Oh,
the Star Wars advertising is disgusting.
It's everywhere now. I don't even like Star Wars, but it's got 100% more insufferable.
It's, if there's anybody like in the browser quality control departments that watch the news, like literally just take our one tabs list and open all of those news stories at once and then fix whatever the hell is wrong with the browser. Browsers should not be able to do this. Like, I don't know, run the tabs in their own threads or something. I don't care what's going on with the JavaScript.
Oh, but there they are. Okay.
They can see it. Yeah, robotic ants. All right. So power source in the legs. They work together as a collective. They're moving the blue things around. Woo,
just
look
don't
at that.
Step on them.
They're actually really big too. You see, like, you think these are like little tiny ants. No, these are big giant ants.
Yeah.
So the miniaturization is not that impressive.
I kind of like how their little legs.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Like, it's like jitter along, and they can move forward and backwards because, you know, the ones are helping pull and some are pushing. Yeah, I'm excited about robot ants. Why not?
I don't know what the practical use case is for
talking about basically just robots working together. Actually, there was another story we didn't include because it just came out right before we started. NASA is talking about robot bees on Mars.
Because the swarm is easier to deal with.
Yeah, so instead of one rover, you got a big swarm of, I guess, solar-powered bees just cruising around on Mars all day.
What about the Martians? Like, what are they going to think? The native Martian population is going to be swarmed by bees.
It's probably fine.
I don't know. Maybe they'll welcome the bees.
I've seen things go much, much worse wrong, so it's probably fine. Switching gears to nonsense, the first story of nonsense is amazing. And this is kind of a follow-up. A lot of journalists have been trying to figure out how this Harlem Shake video came to be. This was like when Ajit Pai repealed net neutrality, he was sort of smugly doing this, I guess, with his giant Reese's mug. And
is she smoking a cigarette?
I think they were trying to do all the memes. So this is what Ajit Pai, this is a conservative website, Daily Caller. This is what a room full of these people thought the internet would like and would be funny.
Maybe like 5 years ago?
20 years ago?
Yeah.
So somebody was like, hey, this was not really a great use of taxpayer dollars. Can we find out what sort of stuff went into that? And the FCC has basically stonewalled all of the Freedom of Information requests to find out more details about what went into the production of this. And
he's got a fidget spinner in his hand.
Why did this happen? And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's pretty cringy.
There's the big phrase. They said it would harm FCC operations if the people knew. And that's probably true.
It harms me
because,
knowing about it.
Yeah, we would say that you're wasting our money and you should be put to death.
Now, everybody knows that Ajit Pai came to us from Verizon. He was born to us of the...
you merely adopted the Verizon. He was born in it.
And so, you know, they also withheld the emails that had to do with, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to make fun of... I'm going to make fun of myself for being a puppet of Verizon because hiding in plain sight's the winning move here, and they don't want the emails to say that to be leaked, I guess.
I think at some point, his evil robot soul started to get a little bit hurt that people hated him so much. And he was like, well, maybe if I poke fun at myself, they'll love me again, right?
That's how
Let's
that works.
Let's just do that.
Definitely not making changes to all the horrible things you've done.
Not realizing why going about, like, I don't know, that's just...
He knows.
He knows.
He knows what he's doing.
He definitely does. Like, I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, well, maybe in a parallel universe, they're not hideously evil. Nope.
Even in Bizarro World, a G-Pi is a piece of shit.
In the mirror universe in Star Trek, still very much the case.
A different person.
Not, it's exactly the same.
He's the hardest working man in Corruption.
For the first time, this was in Sky News, a robot has performed a double surgery on a cancer patient in a rare procedure. So this is a lady who had part of her bowel removed and part of her colon removed, which was normally two different procedures.
Hysterectomy and colon.
And bowel.
Okay. So two different surgeons using the robotic operation thing, and they did this because it would cause less overall trauma to the patient to perform both procedures at once, and so she'll only have one healing period. But this kind of procedure, they hinted that this may become more commonplace.
And she was home. She was home in a week.
Oh, wow.
Which is really impressive.
That is really good. I was going to say, I think these kind of surgical implants are pretty common. But yeah, doing two at once is what made this story especially interesting.
Yeah, and the doctors, of course, were guiding it, but the robot does very precise cuts. So, of course, you know, when you're doing it by hand, you can't be that exact. And I think that played into it as well.
It's like a kindergartner with scissors in there. It's just the doctor.
Well, I think doctors are maybe required to have a little bit more motor control.
They actually talked about the jitters in the article. It's like a lot of doctors are like, oh, the jitters is just normal, but the robot just totally takes that out.
I can imagine that, you know, if you make a 2-millimeter mistake that someone dies. Yeah.
That would be stressful.
There could be some stress.
3D printed robots are making bridges now, or robots that can do 3D printing steel. The robots themselves are not 3D. I don't know.
We don't know. They could be.
Welding robots complete a 3D printed steel bridge. And the pictures of the bridge are amazing. When you're not constrained by normal engineering requirements, look at the craziness that you can do. This is nuts. It was printed this way, I think.
Vertically, right?
Yeah, but it looks... The original plan was to do it in place and literally build the bridge. Like, the robot would just be on the bridge as it built. But they ultimately decided that because of the pedestrian exposure, that it was too unsafe for the pedestrians.
So the cool thing about this bridge is basically one giant weld. The robots just weld a spot, and then as soon as it cools down enough, they weld another spot. And then they just change directions by where they're welding onto the spot. So it's incredibly, incredibly strong structurally because it isn't parts welded together.
It's just one big weld. Here's the view from above. Man, it looks so organic. I mean, this is going to change architecture.
How are dogs going to walk on that bridge? Because their little legs are going to fall down.
Well, I think they're going to put something over that.
Yeah, like, I imagine this was designed by a human architect.
Look how fancy it is. It's ridiculous. What is going on like the lower left here?
I don't know.
It's a toilet. You know, you go across the bridge.
You piss
just,
into that.
Just squat down.
It's a wishing well.
A wishing well. Yeah, that's what that's going to be used for.
You know, we always talk about China. There's always some story in China every week. And the new thing that China is unhappy about and they're censoring are teen moms. Because teen moms is sort of, no, you got to be at least 20 to be a mom. No teenage moms.
Yeah, and these teen moms, they're not going wild. They have not previously gone wild. They're just simply popular on social media. And the fact that they're teen moms means that they have to be censored, which seems unfair.
Are they like the Instagram models of the U.S.?
They're super popular. And I think the Chinese government, you know, this we talked about being, you know, grumpy old people. It's like, why do they love the teenage moms? This ain't right.
Well, they're just getting on the bandwagon the U.S. pioneered years ago when we had the teen mom revolution on MTV.
The still from this video, she is wearing a pretty short skirt there. So I imagine they are sexy. These are teenage MILFs. But
that's what they have.
And there goes our monetization.
Switching gears a little bit. PUBG, the creators of PUBG have been in the news this week a bunch. They're finally suing a copycat game, or they're suing a game that says is a copycat game and that they've gone too far. So we've got the meme, of course, the pan armor. But these are actual images from the lawsuit. They're saying this game, you know, the startup location and the drop from a plane and a parachute and loot crates, and it's like
it's all pretty standard FPS.
Yeah.
Anything.
But they go farther than that. They talk about the frying pan, for example, which frying pans have been video game weapons for at least 2 decades.
Valve games all had the, I think they had a frying pan guitar. Like,
there were several games that have used the frying pan. They talk about Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner, which has been around since the 1800s, probably.
Doesn't it originate from somewhere else? I can't remember.
It's not even video games. Yeah. It's like Bingo, I think, uses it.
Yeah.
It's very commonplace. So they're making a lot of complaints about things. The other thing, shipping containers. They talked about shipping containers in a video game. How many video games have shipping containers?
I think they need to take some of the people working on this lawsuit and spin up a few more servers to handle stuff during peak load.
Yeah.
They have their own. They can fix the bugs or...
Well, you mentioned, when we talked about this earlier, the butthurt here, I don't think is really directed toward this game, but Fortnite has taken the number one spot.
Yeah.
And it's not only taken the number one spot, but have you been seeing like the normie news is now covering Fortnite?
It's because it's really popular with like adolescent boys right now.
Yes, it's taken over the world, and I think they're real sad. It's like, oh, well, that should be us, right?
It's probably too real. Like, I think the reason Fortnite is popular is because it's very cartoony.
Yeah.
So like parents are more willing to let their younger kids play that instead of
PUBG. It's free. I think free is the big one.
That is also really big.
Yeah.
Because all that data. Yeah. So we'll see. I bet that if the Battlegrounds people are successful with this, they will go after other copycat games that are even perhaps more blatant.
But they are trying to copyright game mechanics. Now,
bold.
Id Software should sue
everybody.
Every game company that's ever existed if this goes down.
It's like, we didn't realize, it's like the Oracle API copyright case. It's like, oh, we didn't realize that was copyrightable.
Sad world.
I can hardly believe our next story. It seems like fake news.
I
weep for humanity.
It's the kind of thing where I'm shocked by it, but I'm not surprised by it.
A third of millennials aren't sure the earth is round, survey finds. So it's a little fake news. 2% are sure that the earth is flat, but a third aren't sure that it's round.
It was one of those questions, you know, when you fill out a survey, it's like, I strongly agree, I somewhat agree. So I think that broke down to like, I think the earth is round, but I need more evidence.
I'm pretty confident based on all the satellite imagery and stuff.
Well, that's just a conspiracy, man.
Well, like, do you mean round or do you mean like it bulges a little bit in the middle? Because that's not technically a sphere.
It is an ellipsoid, right?
Do you think there's someone who wrote that in their survey?
Like, oh, I'm sure. YouTube commenters.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, I was confused by the question. It's just...
But it is as you get older, apparently you have more confidence that the earth is round, and as your income goes up, you have more confidence that the earth is round. So
I got that breakdown right here for you. It's 25 to 35 say they've always believed the earth is round, 82% ages 35 to 44, and 85% of all ages 45 to 54, and 94% of 55 and older. That's 6%. What are you smoking?
Yeah. So if you're looking to be successful in life, maybe embrace the sphere.
He's 56 and he's on some cholesterol medicine, but man, it really messes with his head.
That's one of the known side effects, is that you might start believing in flat earth.
Yeah.
Get healthy here.
Income also seemed to play a role. 92% of adults making over 80,000.
I don't think that's income so much as education level.
How?
Probably.
You know, we always cover a lot of like the big deal items. Is like, how do you know, we're explaining the subtlety of like the Harlem Shake thing and the subtlety of the FCC's evil. How are we ever going to fix subtlety with giant quotation marks around it? How are we ever going to fix those kind of problems when a third of people aren't sure the earth is flat?
Honestly,
can we recruit them for our side?
In the grand scheme of things, like, the flat earth thing is not the most important thing we should be focused on. Like, for most of us, that doesn't matter day to day. But things like your internet privacy, that matters day to day.
But I think if you can be sold that, then
you can probably be sold.
Can you not be sold? The other thing is, there's a lot of NBA players who believe the earth is flat, and they're very outspoken about it. And they're making, like, you know, they're on 3-year, $20 million contracts. Imagine how much they would skew that income one if they answered the survey.
Okay. That's enough. That's enough for this week. We got some other stuff that we've done. I don't know. Check out that, because yay, clicks and whatever. Be sure to check out the Level 1 store. We got all kinds of new products. It's getting to be springtime. Things are warming up. Got some new Tribeland t-shirts. Woo!
And hoodies if it's still freezing cold like it is here.
Hoodies are great because you don't have to be freezing cold. It can just be like cool or brisk. So like if you get out and you go for a walk in the morning.
Well, what about late at night when you're burglarizing?
Well,
or if you're walking your dog for the 10th time.
A lot of the time in the concrete jungle, you know, especially after the sun goes over, it gets really cold. A hoodie's nice, you know, 6-8 months out of the year.
Would you call most of Kentucky a concrete jungle?
No.
Maybe just a regular jungle.
More of a methamphetamine wilderness.
It has nothing to do with the news, and I don't know why, but I have to share it because you said that. I saw a mugshot this weekend, and the name on the mugshot was Crystal Methany.
Wow.
Oh, that's enough. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.